Now, the U.S. government misses a deadline set by a judge to reunify 63 minors under the age of 5 separated from their families by immigration officials. Earlier, San Diego Judge Idana Sabra said he was sticking with the deadlines that he set last month. He had ordered the children under 5 to be reunited Tuesday and another 2,000 to be back with their parents by July 26 or face penalties. Many of the separated children are fleeing violence in Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. They were separated from their parents upon arrival from Mexico under President Donald Trump's so-called zero-tolerance immigration policy. Trump was forced to stop separating families last month after facing public outcry and a court challenge. To discuss that more, we are joined live from Ontario by Edward Corrigan, international human rights lawyer. Thank you very much, as always, Mr. Corrigan, for joining us. Now that the U.S. government has not been able to meet the deadline, what's the next step for them? What is going to happen?
Well, it's sort of creating chaos within the U.S. immigration system. The initial plan was to separate families and use that as a stick to prevent people from coming into the United States as a fear of losing their children. But then you have the absurdity of a one-year-old child crying at an immigration hearing where the judge has to ask him legal questions, and the judge actually wouldn't do that. And you would never have that, I think, under any sort of judicial system that has a common sense to it. You can't, intimidate or threaten a one-year-old child, even a five-year-old child. They may not even know, what their full names are. And, it's easy. They've misplaced a lot of these children. So in their detention, if you can't match them up with their parents, there's some talk of resorting to DNA testing to make sure that the children are, in fact, being reunited with their parents. But that's very costly. What they really should have done was had some sort of proper system in place so they can track the children and have, the proper paper trail, or at least computer trail, so they know where the children are and where their parents are, and to do the best thing they can to try to meet the judge's order. But they failed to do that. And then there's 2,000 other children, which are not much older, are in a similar predicament. Trump is sort of calmed the fears a bit, but he says we're not going to separate the children from their families. He's going to keep them all in detention, which I suppose is a bit better of an improvement. But it's still a big stick that Trump and ICE are waving at the at immigrants trying to get into Canada. And many of them, as you've noted, are fleeing horrific situations in Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, and other countries as well. So you've got this problem where the Americans have about over 10 million illegal residents in the United States. Many of these people have been there for 10 years. There's the DACA children, kids that came over at a very young age, but essentially grown up in the United States. They've got jobs, they've got education, they're paying taxes. They are, for all counts and purposes, they're successful immigrants. And it's gone through various stages where Obama wanted to have them sort of properly documented, but for Trump, people that he can easily deport because they don't have status. But of course, Trump's own Mar-a-Lago in Florida has asked to hire a bunch more foreign workers because they can't get the workers to help, run the resort. So, Trump is saying one thing, one hand to his base, but of course, from the practical point of view and from, getting jobs and work done, a lot of people in the United States are being hurt very badly by it. And of course, a lot of the food crops and picking and agricultural produce is dependent upon foreign labor, and in particular these illegal immigrants who now are too afraid to show up to pick the crops. As a result, you have a lot of the crops going rotten in the fields, and this is going to have a cost that's going to hit the American consumer.
Thank you very much, Mr. Edward Corrigan, international human rights lawyer, joining us live from Ontario, giving us his take on the situation of immigrants in the United States.